I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Welcome to everybody to this council meeting on the 26th of August. We have a full agenda, so we'll get started right away. We have a new item this time, and let me preface it by saying that I'm sure there's going to be lots of discussion about this procedure going forward, but we're not going to have a lot of time to do that today. It doesn't mean we can't revisit it, the procedure, but our procedures that we approved several weeks ago with regard to especially the disclosures of interest need to be implemented. And so I'm going to try on this first time around to do it with the roll call. The disclosures of interest are different than the statement. Statement of interest needs to be updated once a year or whenever there's an update to it. Disclosures of interest are relate to specific agenda topics for the meeting at hand. My interpretation is those can be relatively high level and brief. But what I'm going to ask you to do, if there are any items on the agenda, and they're listed on the agenda there, you have some interest in. You can see the statement there. We're required to poll counselors regarding any direct or indirect interest that may affect a relevant party's judgment on an issue that is under review, consideration, or discussion in the meeting. So if you have any statement there, and I'll go ahead and start it off. Just to, if nothing else, I'm not sure my example will be that great because you've heard it before, but certainly with regard to the vertical integration issue, VeriSign is intending to participate in the new GTLD process, so what happens with regard to vertical integration could impact us, and I'll put that on the record right at the beginning, and I'll let Glenn take it from there on the roll call.
Thank you, Chuck. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. On the call, we have, or would you please say whether you're here, Chuck Gomes?
I'm here, and I just gave my disclosure of interest.
Caroline Greer?
I'm here, Glenn, and my disclosure would be that .mobi may be participating in the new GTLD process.
Thank you. Edmund Chen? He's not on the call yet. Adrian Kindris. Tim Ruiz. Stefan Van Gelder.
Yes, I'm here, and my disclosure is the same as Caroline's.
Zaid Jamil is absent, and he sent his apologies. It's 1 o'clock in the morning for him, and he has to plead in court at 8 o'clock this morning for him. Mike Rodenbach?
Hello, Glenn. I represent clients that are likely to participate in the new TLD process. I represent clients who are likely to be benefited and perhaps also perhaps negatively impacted by various changes to WHOIS rules, depending on how that ever changes. Other than that, nothing else to report.
Thank you, Mike. Christina Rosette?
I'm present. Just trying to make sure that I don't make this overly long. I am advising a number of firm clients that are considering whether to participate in the process. None have decided to do so. Virtually every client that I advise in terms of providing status information of WHOIS developments would be likely to be adversely impacted depending upon certain WHOIS developments. And just generally, to the extent that I'm advising clients on any of these issues that we are considering, it's in an information status perspective as opposed to a policy perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christina. David Taylor?
Yep, I'm on. Similar to Christina, advising clients on the new GTLD process, none have it yet confirmed that they are going to proceed. but I would expect some too, and that's pretty much it for me.
Thank you. Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes, I'm present, and my disclosure of interest is, well, I'm representing Deutsche Telekom, and we are running a registrar called T-Online, but there is no decision undertaken to participate in the present new GDLD process. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie Wagner?
Jamie Wagner, present. No, I represent no directly no providers of Brazil. None has any intention of participating in the new GDLD process.
Thank you. So I take that as a no, you have no disclosure of interest.
Yes, no.
Thank you. Rafik Damak?
Here, no disclosure of interest.
Thanks. William Drake?
I'm here, and I have no interest other than to represent the public interest and annoy Stefan.
Thank you. Debbie Hughes?
I'm here, and while my organization is considering whether or not to participate in the new GTLD program, we haven't made any decision either way. However, we would be potentially impacted by any who is development.
Thank you. So that is a disclosure of interest.
Yes, ma'am.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes, I'm here, and I have no interest to disclose.
Thank you. Mary Wong?
Yes, I'm here as well, and similarly, no interest that I know of at the moment. Thank you.
Olga Cavelli?
Hi, Glenn. No specific interest, but I have been approached by some local and regional communities in order to understand the new GTLD process. Nobody has expressed to me that they're interested in going forward, but just to let you know that I have an approach by them.
Thank you very much. Edmund Chan. I see Edmund has joined the call. Have you got a disclosure of interest?
Hello. Hello?
Yes, hello, Edmund.
Yeah. Sorry, I just joined. This is a disclosure of interest on new GTLD.
Any topics on the agenda, Edmund?
Okay, well, on new GTLD, then .Asia is interested in applying for IDN versions of .Asia in new GTLDs.
Thank you. Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes, I'm here, and I might be involved in consultations regarding some quasi-governmental GTLDs for the certain parts of certain countries.
Thank you. Alan Greenberg will be late joining the call, and Han Chan Lui has sent his apologies. He's not able to be on the call. And for staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Marika Koenigs, Margie Milam, Dan Halloran, Patrick Jones, David Olive, David Clossens, Roman Pellick, Liz Gaster, Julie Headland, Ken Bauer, Joshua Bierman. And have I left off any staff? Because I know that. And myself, Glenda Saint-Jury.
And Glenn, Wendy Seltzer here.
Wendy, yes?
I don't have any interest to disclose.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Over to you, Chuck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank you, everybody, for participating in that. We can look at that procedure going forward as we need to. Maybe we can figure out better ways to do it. And certainly, if you have ideas in that regard, send them to the list. Going to item 1-2, are there any updates of statements of interest? Going to item 1-3, any comments, suggested changes regarding the agenda? Okay, hearing none. And, Glenn, I assume the minutes from the 5 August meeting will be distributed today.
That's correct, Chuck.
Okay, very good. Going then to item 2, which is a very brief item, the overview of procedures related to voting. I want to thank Ken Bauer for creating some tools to help us navigate those. But I would certainly encourage stakeholder groups or constituencies to avail yourself of Ken's willingness to do an overview of those procedures. I think that the procedures with regard to votes when someone is absent and is forced to abstain because of a planned absence and other scenarios, there are now procedures even when absentee voting is not allowed for a constituency and stakeholder group not to lose their vote. But it's very important that advance notice and the procedures be followed. So if you hadn't have an opportunity to review those and be familiar with them, I encourage you and the leaders of your groups to do so. I think that was an important step for us, but it can be a little bit complicated. Once we get used to it, I think we'll be fine. But thanks, Ken, for the work you did on the tools that were provided. It's a nice flow chart. There's a form for executive committee members from a constituency or stakeholder group to use to submit the necessary information in the different alternatives. So please be aware of that. Very quickly, are there any questions that anyone wants to bring up right now in that regard? Okay. Going then to item 3, who is studies?
Hey Chuck, it's Mike. Can I ask a question before you dive
into that? Sure, Mike, go ahead.
I'm sad. I didn't hear at the beginning. Is Terry Davis on the call today?
Terry is not on the call today, or not yet.
All right. So, I mean, this is pointless to go through this today again. We're likely to have the same result. So I think I would exercise our constituency's right to postpone this another week until the next meeting.
Okay. Well, you're the maker of the motion.
Yeah, I know. Remaking the motion was to have people in attendance that weren't in attendance last time, so...
Yeah, did Terry tell us he was not going to be able to make this call, Glenn?
I have not heard anything from Terry.
Okay, well, then we will postpone the motion to proceed with Study 1, but let's go ahead and do Item 3-2. Liz, would you give us a brief update on what's happening with Who Is Studies Number 3?
Sure, Chuck. So just a quick reminder that Who Is Study Number 3, as we like to call it, a proxy and privacy abuse study. It basically just compares a broad sample of proxy and privacy registered domains associated with abuse, the overall frequency of proxy and privacy registrations overall. We had hoped early on to get an analysis to you more quickly, but the responses that we got really were insufficient on certain key points that would have made it impossible for us to provide you with costs and, in some sense, feasibility as well. So we did ask for clarifications from the respondents, and good news is they've agreed to provide them. We'll have our analysis as a result by the end of September. They'll provide their input to us by the 16th of September, and then we'll, if we can do it sooner, we will, but definitely by the end of September, we'll be providing, we'll look at those and provide our analysis to you. And just really quickly on the REVEAL study, you know, I set an August 30th deadline for input from all of you on the draft RFP terms of reference that I sent out last week. I haven't seen any activity or discussion on the list. But I have reached out to several of you to just urge you to look at that, those who I know are particularly interested in this. And, you know, I want to urge everyone, please, to take some time with that draft language. And we really welcome any input or changes. And we would expect really take a look at it. It's a difficult study. And I think that's all I have on those studies, Chuck.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. So I think we, unless somebody wants to discuss anything else, I see Christina. Go ahead.
Liz, I was just wondering whether it would be feasible to perhaps push the delivery date up by several days, only because if we don't get from staff the analysis until September 30th, the first council meeting that we could act on it would be the one at the end of October. So in that case, we've lost basically a whole month.
So when would you need it? What I'm trying to think of when you...
I mean, assuming that the eight business day deadline for motions would apply, I think we're probably looking at the 24th, although I haven't checked against the calendar.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's for which meeting?
October
7th. Thanks. I can try, and I will try very hard to do that.
All right, thank you.
It's hard to, because I don't see the responses yet, but on the 16th I'll know better, and I'll send you a note. I'll send a note to the council, early that week, like the 20th, and let you know either way. How about that?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thanks for bringing that up, Christina. That was a helpful observation, and hopefully we can adjust the timing so that works. And thanks, Liz, for trying to make that happen. Appreciate that. Anything else on the who is motions? I think in terms of next steps, we will, in terms of selecting studies, once we get the information for study three, we'll have information on three studies, and that'll give us quite a bit to go on. Study four is going to take a while, so that's going to come later. So, anything else on the who is agenda item? Okay. Going to item four, then, the GNSO endorsements for the AOC Security Stability Resiliency Review Team and the WHOIS Policies Review Team. You can see the tables in the agenda provide the status. I want to thank each stakeholder group for delivering their primary endorsements on time and facilitating this process. We're now at a point then, all four of the stakeholder group endorsements will go forward according to our procedures. There is just one decision we need to make, whether or not we want to improve the diversity of the slate by adding, and we really only have one candidate that could be added to the SSR slate that would improve geographic diversity. I don't think we have any options to improve diversity on the who is slate of candidates. It's up to the council to decide whether they would like to do that, and obviously it's a council. The council would have to approve adding George Asari Sakai, I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but to the slate of SSR candidates. Let me, first of all, call on Bill with regard to the NCSG position on George, and I know that they have done some additional work within their stakeholder group in that regard. Bill?
Well, I don't know if I would characterize it as a lot of additional work. We did look at his file and talk about it. We do feel that the diversity requirements are important. It is a pity that the bottom-up applicant pools tend to be fairly homogeneous. Obviously, we have some questions, too. George's text responding to the questions is fairly schematic, but often in a kind of intercultural setting that could happen. He does have, as he says, 30 years of experience as a telecom engineer. He is at least, I would presume, technically competent. and able to provide some perspective that might be useful in this kind of setting. That said, given that we only get three slots anyway, there's a real question whether the selectors would take somebody who's a fifth add-on from us. But I think, you know, it's a credible enough candidacy based on what we have. I can't say that we know him very well beyond that. We've had some brief exchanges, and he joined our last NCSG call, but none of us really knows him all that well. But we think that probably for this particular purpose, it's not a risky thing, and he probably could add something if chosen.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Anybody else want to comment on the issue of whether or not we should add George to the slate of four candidates and thereby put a slate of five candidates forward for the SSR review team? Now, what we will need, and I'll watch for hands here or listen for voices, but what we need then is, and we can do this at our next meeting and give each of the groups a chance to go back to their constituencies to see whether they support it. But what we would need then is a motion to add George to the slate to improve geographical diversity of the slate of candidates for the SSR review team. Bill, is that something that one of you counselors from the NCSG would be willing to draft and send forward? I'm sure that if you would like staff assistance on that, we could get a staff person to assist on that as well.
That would be ideal. I'm leaving town tomorrow morning, and I'm going to be offline.
So is there another person from the NCSG that would be willing to take the lead on that? Let me approach it this way. We'll obviously need a counselor to make the motion. Liz, could you possibly identify a staff person to draft a motion in this regard?
Yes. Margie will help. Margie will help.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you, Liz, and thank you, Margie. And then go ahead and then just distribute that draft motion to the list as soon as possible. And then someone can any counselor can make the motion, and someone else can second it, so we can take care of it that way. Now, the rest of us, though, need to make sure that between now and our meeting on 8th of September, which is coming up in, 13 days, that we check with our groups to see whether we will support adding George to the slate of candidates for the SSR team. Glenn, if you would help me, let's make sure that we get the word out that all constituencies and stakeholder groups need to consider this issue between now and our September 8th meeting, and of course the motion will be needed by the end of August, which is really fast, to meet our eight-day deadline. Any questions or comments on that? Bill?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I don't recall from last time, did we write into our procedures that a motion is needed for this, or are you simply concluding that?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the procedures require approval by the council to add a candidate to the
right. Plan. But when we did the last time, and we had the votes on diversity that added Heikakura Ramen to the pool, I don't think we had a motion first.
Well, at some point we need to determine whether there's support for adding the candidate. What am I missing here?
Wouldn't the vote now, tell you that?
What? Excuse me?
Wouldn't the vote tell you that?
Yes. A vote on... Are you suggesting that we just informally take a poll of support for adding him? I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to that. So, is there anyone that's opposed to taking that poll right now?
Chuck, this is Stefan.
Yes, Stefan, go ahead.
Yeah, I would be opposed to that. I don't think, certainly I'm missing two fellow registrar reps, and I'd rather not be alone in that decision. Also, we have not had time to discuss this with our respective groups. I would suggest we follow the course that you initially suggested, have a motion. I don't see what the problem is with having a motion to decide this. Or just if it's just a time issue that Bill is bringing up, which it may be, then just have a vote at the next meeting, which gives us a little bit more time. And maybe Glenn could send a message to the SG or constituency chairs just to ask them for their instructions on this.
Thank you, Stefan. So it's our practice to, if any stakeholder group wants a little more time to consider an issue, and I think it's true for the registry stakeholder group that we need to consider the issue, and we'll have a call next week so we can do that. So let's go ahead then and proceed with a motion, and it can be simple. We didn't need to overcomplicate it, but we do need to know whether there's we meet the threshold of the council approving adding George. So if each of you will do your homework in that regard, and if you would like, I'm sure Glenn would be willing to coordinate with any of you if you'd like to hold a session with George. I'm sure he was invited to the CSG session of candidates, but for those of us that weren't involved in that, that's an option, and I certainly encourage you to avail yourself of that. Anything else on the endorsements? Okay. Going on then to item 5, Vertical Integration PDP Working Group. The revised initial report is linked on the agenda. Note that in this particular one, and we'll get to this in a minute, we have a motion, but there hasn't been a second. So if there's not a second to the motion, then the motion will die. But we'll get there in a minute. Let's first of all go to item 5.2 for a brief overview of the revised initial report from the VI PDP Working Group. Margie?
Thank you, Chuck. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. Okay, excellent. I'm just going to provide a brief overview of the revised initial report. As many of you may know, there was an initial report published for a 20-day public comment period on July 23rd. That period closed, and we've summarized the comments. And the revised initial report was published on May 18th in an effort to get information to the GNSO Council prior to the board retreat in September. So essentially, the revised initial report is not a final report. I just want to emphasize that because the working group has not received any recommendations at this time. There is no new content from the initial report except for the public comment summary. So if you're interested in the public comments, you can refer to one of the annexes that has that summary. The report does include several models that have been proposed by various proponents for vertical integration, and it lists the people that are supporting it, and there is a brief summary of a snap poll that was taken with respect to those models, but as I just want to emphasize, there is no consensus for any model at this point. The contents of the revised initial report, essentially, it describes certain principles that the working group is, they call it, moving towards consensus. In other words, they don't have consensus yet, but these are principles that the working group is likely to support when they conclude their work. And I've identified them on the slide, essentially at the certain new GTLDs that may be applied for in the first round may be unnecessarily impacted by restrictions on process ownership or control. There's also a notion that there needs to be a process that would allow exceptions to any strict separation rule and have them considered on a case-by-case basis. The working groups also believes it's important to explore the concept of single registrant, single user TLDs. That is something that's gotten a lot of traction within the working group, and they believe that that concept should be explored further. And finally, the fourth principle is that there appears to be a need for compliance efforts and a need for a detailed compliance plan. And if you go through the report itself, you'll see suggestions, early thoughts on what the compliance plan might look like. And again, I just want to emphasize that there is no consensus, even for these principles. This is just a snapshot of the kind of work that's being conducted by the working group. So essentially, the working group, the next steps that it plans to, this is the work we're going to do in the incoming week, evaluate the public comments and determine whether they should adjust the report. The working group is also reviewing a list of harms for inclusion into the final report. That's a big project that many members of the working group are eager to participate in. I do want to caution, though, that at this point, it doesn't look like consensus will be reached on a recommended model for vertical integration in the short term. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but that in the next few weeks, I don't think it's likely that they will reach consensus on a particular model. And so for the GNSO Council, what we're talking about with this motion is simply to forward the revised initial report to the board as a status report only. It's not to be interpreted at all as an endorsement of the comments, because this is not a final report. It's only an initial report, and so it would be premature to do that. And so that's essentially my summary. Does anyone have any questions?
While we're waiting for hands on this, Adrian is not on the call, but I told him I would ask a question that he raised, and that question was essentially how much closer will we get to consensus by continuing the work of the group going forward? I don't know that anybody has the answer to that, but it's a fair question. In other words, if the group continues working on this, is there a reasonable expectation of getting either any closer to consensus than if it just ended right now? And I characterized Adrian's question fairly, and I did promise I'd do that. Stefan.
Yeah, Chuck, thanks. I just want to add that it's my understanding that Adrian's intent was to, in asking the question, was to suggest that there would be no need for a preliminary report because there was no, it was unlikely, or it appeared unlikely, and Marty just confirmed it, that the group would reach consensus anytime soon. We might as well, they might as well just make it a final report. That was, I think, his intent. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, thank you. And he did say that to me as well. Thank you for adding that. I appreciate that. So any other comments on this, on Margie's presentation and the working group? Margie?
To answer the question, at least from my perspective, supporting the group, I don't think it's likely that they will reach consensus on proposed models quickly, but there might be consensus on those principles that I described earlier. So it may not be a complete report in the sense that it wouldn't have concrete recommendations for a model for ICANN to adopt, but some of those principles that I described might be something that that could be included in the final report with more time.
Thank you, Margie. Christina.
And I apologize because I am having issues electronically, but the question is actually, who is the question is for the person who put forward the motion. And I guess I'm just not clear as to, I mean, obviously I understand what the purpose of the motion is as identified, in other words, to present this to the board as a status report. I'm not clear as to why we need that.
And need a motion? Mm-hmm. Or need to send it to the board?
Or, I mean, it's a publicly accessible document. If they want to read it, they can read it. I don't understand what we're intending to do or what type of message we're hoping to convey or not convey by forwarding it as a status report. That hasn't been clear to me at all, and that would be helpful information to have.
Well, one of the points that was raised to me was that there's no procedures in the PDP for submitting an initial report to the board. There are procedures for sending a final report. So because there are no procedures, it could be argued that the council should specifically decide whether to do that. I'm not going to hold fast to that argument. It seems like, as in my own personal opinion, in our responsibility of managing the policy development process, that it's the council's responsibility to communicate with the board. You're right. They can look at it themselves. It's a public document. So whatever the council decides is fine.
Thanks, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. May I suggest, as there's not been a second to your motion, that so far it doesn't exist, and we should ascertain whether there is one or not before we start discussing it. And I'd just like to add for everybody's information that my understanding is that the registrars agree with what Christina's just asked. We are asking ourselves the same question.
Thank you, Stefan. Is there a second to the motion? Not hearing one or seeing any new hands up, we will go on to item 6 of the agenda. And by the way, if Adrian or anyone else for that matter wants to suggest that the working group not continue, that could be done via our processes going forward. So we'll just leave that where it's at. Item 6 is the GAC requested community working group on new GTLD recommendations. There is a terms of reference for this community working group that the GAC requested, that the volunteers who are participating in that group so far, I think, are very close to agreeing on. Those were provided to you yesterday. It's obviously with short lead time. I'm going to ask Liz to give a brief overview of the key elements of those terms of reference.
Thank you, Chuck. So turning to the document itself, the first thing that the group really focused on in its discussion of this was the purpose of the working group, which paragraph 2 is really the key paragraph there. The purpose is not to revisit the intended aim of recommendation 6, nor to revisit other established recommendations, but rather to develop implementation guidelines that will address the concerns expressed by the GAC, the ALAC, and the GNSO, or the GAC and the ALAC, and note that the specific provisions here that are noted as of concern to those organizations were carefully, this paragraph was kind of massaged to make sure that the concerns reflected the advisory committee that had them rather than being a generic statement that applied to all. So that was the first sort of key edit that the group agreed to. So there was some extended discussion on how to get this paragraph right. Under working group tasks, there are two tasks, one to review the terminology and the dispute resolution procedures related to recommendation 6 and then to deliver a report with any recommendations. The language review, the terminology, was really a melding together of two recommendations that was initially put forward to address the concern about the terminology that of, you know, morality and public order and whether, you know, alternative terms should be proposed. So that was captured in this concept review, the terminology. Under key assumptions, I think largely straightforward, but number Roman numerals 4 and 5 were added, or the last phrase in number 4 was added, and then number 5, there was some discussion in the list, but that was agreed to as new text. You'll see the rules of engagement there. Exchanges should be focused on identifying common objectives and seeking effective solutions. Under group membership and leadership, individuals are welcome to participate, as well as volunteers from all ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. And participants will, there was a clarification and agreement, for, participants will engage in their individual capacities unless otherwise stated. And then operational guidelines and timeline, rough consensus approach. There was this was really the key area of open discussion after the conclusion of the first meeting that the group had, whether preliminary should be deleted, this red line text, and then this additional text that was proposed following that meeting. Since then, as Chuck says, I think the group has pretty much agreed that those two edits should be accepted. So I think that's the direction they're planning to proceed under at latest, is to approve that. And that's it, I think.
Thank you, Liz. Mike?
Yeah, one question, potential objection, I guess, but hopefully not. In the working group task number 2, deliver a report with any recommendations to the ICANN board, I think that should read to the GNSO Council. I think that's consistent with the last paragraph here that seems to imply at least that the Council will have an opportunity to comment on the report before it it's due.
Well, notice, Mike, let's see, I'm not sure where it is. Maybe Liz can help me. I think there's a statement in the TOR that says that the GNSO, the ALAC, and the GAC should all comment on whatever report comes out. I think that was intended to – can you know where that is, Liz?
I see it, yeah. It's here in the last couple paragraphs.
Yeah. So are you suggesting more than that?
In
mind,
the bottom line is the working group, since they are, in essence, commenting on a GNSO recommendation, the report ought to come to us, work of the ICANN board.
Yeah, now I absolutely agree with you that the GNSO should be involved because it's a GNSO issue. One of the issues is it's a community working group, so there are, and the GAC sees their relationship between, you know, them and the board, and the ALAC has its own relationship. So I think this is open to discussion on that. Alan?
Yeah, both the GAC and the ALAC are board advisory committees, so we don't have to pass anything through the GNSO. I would assume that this would go to the GNSO as well as the GAC and the ALAC, and the GNSO can do with it as it sees fit at that point, ranging from pass it on to the board in its own right or reject it and tell the board that it's a pile of something. But I can't see that the report has to go through the GNSO before going to the board, given that the working group is a three-way structure, two of which can talk directly to the board.
Well, all of them can talk directly to the board. I see your point there, but...
Yeah, okay. Stefan.
Sorry, I'm going to unmute myself. I think Mike's question is a good starting point for this discussion, and
it all comes down to, are we talking about changing in any way an existing GNSO policy or not? Now, there's a fairly diverse range of views on that within the group itself. One of the suggestions that we've had in our discussion on the council list, I don't know if everybody's had a chance to see it, is that we might want to respond to the GATT letter, which is the basic starting point for this, with a letter of our own. Now, I think it was Tim suggested that, Tim Ruiz, and I think, Chuck, you started the discussion or continued it by saying, whom should we send the letter to? And I think the answer to that is we should send it to the board. I think the GNSO Council would be well within its right to respond to something or a letter from one of the ACs that may look like its intent is to change an existing policy that we adopted a while back.
Any comments on that? I think the terms of reference are fairly clear that it should not be a change in the recommendations of the GNSO. Quite a bit of work was done on that by the people who have volunteered for this. But one of the approaches we can take is to form a drafting team, like Tim suggested, that would develop a response to the GAC letter. A response, as Stefan said, would be sent to the board. Any comments on that suggestion? Is there support for it, opposition to it? Where do people stand with regard to that? Stefan, a question for you while people are thinking. That approach was taking, what would be your response with regard to the GAC request for a community working group on this topic?
Well, once again, Chuck, I mean, I don't want to get into the detail of what our response might be and preempt whatever work a drafting team might do. It won't happen in 5 minutes. You know, there needs to be some discussion on it. But the questions that I'm asking myself and that the registrars are asking themselves at this point, I think, is what is this group, what's the intent? You know, you've just mentioned the fact that there's been some effort in the group to ensure that even in the terms of reference, it's a clear statement that there's no intent to change Rec 6. However, at the same time, from discussions in the group, and there's been one call so far, the group has scheduled a call every Monday. You know, from discussions that we've had so far in the group, it's clear that some people are uncomfortable with some of the wording in Rec 6 and might want to change it. So I think we need to look at that carefully. I don't want to preempt what the response might be, but I can certainly say that kind of area is a worry for us.
Yeah, thanks. By the way, just to let everybody know, I think I've been emphatically clear that changing Rec 6 is not an option, that in my opinion, that would require another PDP. And so that is nuts on the plate, and I think I've been pretty direct about that and the people that I've talked to in that regard. Andre.
Yeah, thank you. Chuck, you're right. This might require the PDP, the whole process for this thing. But I'd like to mention that the whole issue which we talk around is maybe not related to our professional skills or our, let's say, our experience in all the issue, because this mostly related to what usually government does as a GAC, as a structure. I think basically should not just complain that there should be some process around a certain things, but might give some recommendations on how they see this should be implemented.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phil?
Yeah, that's it.
Hi.
Were you done, Andre? Andre, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Were you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay, good. I thought you were, but then I thought maybe I'd cut you off. I didn't want to do that. Thank you. Okay. Phil?
Thank you.
Your hand went down. Okay.
Yeah. Just to make a simple point, I wouldn't support writing to the board. It seems to me that this has been known for a while that we were having this process, and a lot of council members got involved in a good faith effort to engage in this dialogue, and it seems to me that what's being proposed would essentially circumvent that process. And I don't really see the need to do that. We are attempting to have some sort of output by September 13th. That's not very far away. Hopefully the GAC members who have expressed discomfort will feel some urgency to getting their act together and trying to articulate precisely what it is are their concerns and so what they think a viable way forward would be. And I think we should let them do that. And if they can't get their act together and make the case, then fine. Then that's where we are, and that changes the game. But to get out ahead of the process and sort of cut it off by saying, well, the council insists on this, to me seems like kind of bad faith and bad politics, personally.
Thank you, Bill. Alan?
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused as to whether the GNSO writing directly to the board is in lieu of this working group, prior to it or post it. My understanding is what we were trying to do is come up with an implementation of Recommendation 6 that meets the various targets of the participants. Now, one can imagine that we may do that, or one can imagine that what some people call an implementation, other people view as a radical change of Recommendation 6. If the latter is the case, then the GNSO has the potential for saying that explicitly. But presuming at this point that we're going to change Recommendation 6 as opposed to finessing an implementation of it that satisfies the needs, I think is putting the cart before the horse.
Thank you, Alan. Stefan?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify because both Alan and Bill's question, I think the intent was to have people work on drafting a letter in parallel to the working group. I don't think at this stage the working group has started. I don't think anyone's suggesting that the GNSO Council should, the GNSO should pull out of it.
Thank you, Stefan. Mary?
Oh, no, it was just to say what Wendy's just typed into the chat box, that the NCSG participants noticed that the audio stream has dropped for all of them.
It's been brought up again. It's just been brought back.
Thank
you. Thank you for alerting us to that, Wendy and Mary. Appreciate that. Alan, did you still have your hand up?
No, sorry. I'm away from my computer. It's
okay.
Consider it down.
Okay. Rosemary.
Thanks, Chuck. I just wanted to clarify Stefan's last point about parallel processes, pardon me. Does that mean that we stop working on this terms of reference now while we write back to the board, or do we keep working on the terms of reference whilst we're writing back to the board for clarification? And I ask the question in a context, as I've been listening to today's discussion, that I'm worried that the GNSO Council is dealing itself out of managing the policy development process by saying that, other parts of ICANN can read things in the public domain space. And now with this discussion, I'm just...
I'm concerned that when things get difficult, which these things are difficult, that we're, as I said, dealing ourselves out of it. So I'm sorry, that's a bigger context to a simpler question, but that's the way I'm feeling at the moment.
So, Rosemary, clarify for me. Just a second. Clarify for us, if you would. So, do you think that the forming this drafting team to respond to the GAC letter and send it to the board then should not be done, or is that okay to do that?
I think that's okay to do that, Chuck, but I would like us to progress with the terms of reference at the same time. And
okay.
I think... Yeah, and at some point I'd like to go back to the vertical integration report, because as I've been listening and thinking, I'm really uncomfortable now that we've had people doing a lot of work in the working group discussions, and the board certainly having some expectation that they'll hear from us. And at the moment, our position is that we're not going to do anything with that report.
Okay. What I will do is I'll put the VI back at the end, and we'll come back to that at your request. Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to make clear. I understood, Stefan, that you meant that it would be in parallel. Nevertheless, I think that confuses the matter, and I think it sends kind of a strange signal to our partners in the group. You know, we're saying we're here. We agreed to do this community process. We're all trying to work together and figure things out. But at the same time, the council, because certain people within the council don't like this, the council is going to go off on its own and open up a separate parallel communication channel to the board and express a range of concerns, which may or may not, once we evolve it, be consistent with what the working group's doing. It just seems to me kind of, you know, why go there? Why add noise to the process? We've got an agreed thing that people have known for a long time. We agreed in Brussels to set this up. This has been on the plate. It's not something that just appeared. And people are trying to engage and work through things, and it would just muddy the waters, I think, for the council to sort of do anything that could be read as questioning it, subverting it, or anything else. I don't see why that would be necessary.
Thank you, Bill. Stefan.
Yeah, I don't think it's true that we agreed to anything in Brussels, Bill. I think we discussed it. I don't think the council agreed to anything. And I don't think that the initiation of this working group was agreed by the council in any way. But I think that's a moot point now. I think the group has started. Also want to answer Rosemary's question. I think the terms of reference document is now finalized, and we have consensus in the group within the group on it. So I don't think there's any question of stopping work on it, because I think it's done. But on the point you raised, Bill, I think it's just a question of, once again, is there a danger of this being a revisitation of Rec 6 or not? Is this a discussion group? Is the GNSO Council entitled to, send communication to the board on a policy, on matters that pertain to a policy it has set a while back? That's basically the questions. I understand what you're saying about the mixed signals. I would just add that the initial idea for this came from a board member, so that may be something that we want to take into consideration. But I'm not really advocating one way or the other. I'm just, expressing people's views that have been on the list.
Good. Thank you, Stefan. Jamie.
I understand Stefan's concerns. And but I agree with Bill that we still don't have a clear indication if we are treating of an implementation or a radical modification. So I think it would be too early to have or to present a reaction since we don't have a clear understanding of something. I think we should much better do an action in the working group, in the working group, to make things clear that they go to the implementation way. So it would be an enhancement of previous work and not something that would make the previous work not worse. So I would propose to defer the formation of the drafting team to the next and meeting and until then to have more participation and some understanding of what at all is the intent of the chart and the charter of the working group will follow.
Thank you, Jamie. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. So I'm going to amend my comment a little and listen to Jamie. I'm not in favor of doing a drafting team at this point, as I've already said. It seems to me that my question now is, what is the concern of the council? And is this a concern of the council as councillors or as representatives of our groups? Whichever it is, what I'm hearing is that people do not, or some people do not want to revisit Recommendation 6 for a variety of reasons, in which case that there is going to be any sort of communication from the council, whether now or deferred, as Jamie suggests, then I would suggest that that communication be limited to a reminder that it's an implementation versus a policy issue, and therefore the working group should not revisit any policy recommendations like Rec 6. Whether or not all councillors sign on to that is, of course, a different matter, but I would suggest a limitation if we're going to do this letter at all.
Thank you, Mary. Bill, did you still have your hand up?
Yes. I just wanted to respond quickly to Stefan. I mean, on the question of whether we agreed to something in Brussels, I mean, the idea was put forward. We discussed in the meeting that there was a suggestion that we form a cross-community group. Nobody expressed any opposition to that. We didn't formally vote on it, sure, but nobody expressed opposition to the idea of doing it. And then Glenn put up a list, and a number of councillors joined. So it's not like this was a mysterious thing. I mean, this has been, you know, in the works, and nobody expressed any concern until last week. So it is kind of funny to me now. We complain about GAC coming back after the fact and questioning things, but we're kind of doing the same thing in a little bit tighter time frame. I don't think, not writing to the board at this particular moment is in any way subverting the council's role or saying we don't have a right to write to the board or whatever. It's just a matter of judgment. It's a matter of, you know, what will contribute to atmospherics within the community group of trying to build some trust to see whether we can have a productive dialogue. And the point is, you know, we can't just ignore the reality that you've got the government saying, we don't like this thing. Flat out, doesn't work. Do something else. Now, you know, obviously that puts a lot of people's backs up, and that's not where you ultimately want to be. But the point is then you try to figure out through some dialogue with them whether you can bring them along. I mean, you know, this is the point. I mean, give them the opportunity to say their piece, try to explain their position, try to articulate something that is sensible and not internally incoherent. And if, they can't do that and their own internal dynamics are such that, you've got different people within GAC having different views and they're not all on the same page anyway, well, then fine. It'll work itself out. I don't see the reason to get agitated at the front end and worry about where this might go and then try and send signals that will complicate the matter and will be read by some people is basically, no matter what we may think we're doing, is trying to sort of short-circuit.
Thank you, Bill. Stefan?
Thanks, Chuck. Bill, I basically agree with what you're saying. You said at the start that we discussed it, and the idea of a group was discussed, and no one really complained at the time. I can't agree with you when you say that no one complained until last week. I've been voicing my concern for a few weeks now, and the reason for that, and this, I'm now moving on to Mary's point. My only approach to this, where am I coming from? I'm not giving you my personal opinion. I'm not giving you the registrar's opinion. I'm just basically trying to do my job as vice chair, and that is to make sure that whether I agree with recommendation 6 or not is really beside the point. I mean, I wasn't on the council when it was voted. It was voted. It was adopted by the council, and I think our job now as council leaders certainly is to ensure that the policy development process that is done by the GNSO is adhered to by the rest of the ICANN community, and that's the only thing I'm trying to do. So that's my approach on this.
Thank you, Stefan. Rosemary.
Yes, I think my suggestion is following Stefan's last point and building on what Jamie was suggesting, I think, which is that we perhaps have one more look at the terms of our own terms of reference to strengthen them in any way that we want to make this point very clear that we are not revisiting policy, we are focused on implementation. And it seems to me that that's a stronger way of achieving what we want than writing a letter, even if it's in parallel with our processes and not a cause for stopping our processes. So I would like us to focus on using our own terms of reference to achieve what we want in this matter.
Now, Rosemary, clarification again, please.
Yes.
When you say our terms of reference, are you referring to the terms of reference that this community working group has developed?
I am. The,
okay.
The terms,
thank you.
The Rec 6. Yep.
Yeah, and I plan to come back to that in a second, so thank you. I just want to make sure I was understanding correctly. Alan.
Yeah, a couple of quick points. I must admit I bristle a little bit with discussions that essentially say our policy right or wrong. The world does change, and there may well be times, and I'm not saying this is one of them, where policies may not be right several years later, looking at the world as we know it. So I worry about saying we must defend it because we agreed on it 10 years ago. In this particular case, governments may well, in some parts of the world, be able to put roadblocks in front of ICANN to at least slow down the process, if not stop the process of releasing new GTLDs. So I think we have to make an honest effort to try to address those issues. And hopefully we can do it without changing the policy formally and in some way that can be treated as implementation. But I'll say again that I think we need to go ahead with that process. There's only 3 weeks left until September 13th. And to try to say we need to do something in parallel to object to the outcome that we don't know about yet, I think is just... I think is going to harm our relationships rather than help them and will not help them solve the real problem that we have.
I'll come back to the relationships issue later because that's an important point, I think, certainly is to me. But with regard to, please understand that when we're saying that the terms of reference for this community working group is not to revisit Recommendation 6, that is not saying that Recommendation 6 couldn't be revisited, but we have a procedure for that. We have a PDP process within the GNSO for doing that, and that's open to everybody. So the point is that it's not the task of a community-wide working group to deal with that recommendation in and of itself. So I want to make sure that distinction is made there. Stefan.
Yeah, Chuck, you just said exactly what I was going to say.
So, now, coming back to the draft terms of reference, I confess that I was very impressed with the way people have come together on the terms of reference that have participated in this working group. We had an hour and a half call on Monday, and there was just kind of one primary issue that was dealt with since then, and there's even been agreement on the terms of reference since then. What I'd like to ask those of you right now, and it's a short enough document, that you can, if you haven't read it, you can glance through it very quickly now. Are there any objections to the terms of reference for this community working group as the terms are defined in the document right now? Any concerns?
Well, Chuck, I mean, I already expressed one concern. It's Mike. Why are you asking? Are we voting on this? Or what's the point of your question?
Mike, it wasn't put before the council 8 days in advance, and so it would be unfair to say we're going to take a vote. This thing's moving very quickly because of the board retreat, okay? I would certainly like to be able to communicate to the rest of the community whether the council's okay with those terms of reference. Now, if somebody wants to request a formal vote on the terms of reference and there's no objections to doing that today, we can do that. I didn't think it was, it wasn't presented 8 days in advance like that because it wasn't available 8 days in advance.
Well, nowhere near. I mean, literally got it last night. I forwarded it to, you know, our VP of policy in my constituency, and not a big surprise. I haven't heard back. So nobody in my constituency, other than me and Zahid, who's not on the call, has seen this document. So I'm really not comfortable giving it a thumbs up or down.
There are representatives from, I think, just about every group on this community working group so far, including from the business users constituency. All I'm asking right now, Mike, I was not trying to put people on the spot for a formal approval because I understand exactly what you're saying. I certainly would appreciate it, though, if you see anything in there that is a problem, that we talk about it right now. The group, I believe, would like to go on to actually discussing the DAG 6 implementation process for Recommendation 6 and put the terms of reference behind them. If anybody sees any reason why that shouldn't happen, I would like you to speak up now, just so that there's some general guidance in terms of going forward.
Chuck, it's Liz.
Go ahead, Liz.
I think actually the council operating procedures are pretty explicit about the 8 days.
About what?
The 8 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 8 day requirement.
Right. At the same time, if we right now, so we decide that we've got to have 8 days, so we'll do it on the meeting on the 8th of September. We're now 5 days away from the 13th of September, and the terms of reference are kind of irrelevant at that point. Now, that doesn't mean that the community working group couldn't continue to operate in the meantime, but at a minimum, I'd like to make sure that there's no key elements in the draft terms of reference that are a problem. Now, Mike, back to your concern, do you have a suggested change to that wording that would, you think, make it better?
Yeah, slightly better. You could add "and" to the GNSO council. But, it's not a big deal. It's kind of a principle thing, and I understand that. I just feel like certainly the report, when it's delivered to the ICANN board, ideally would have the GNSO's comments.
Okay, so in other words, instead of just delivering it to the board, it's delivered to the GNSO council, to the and the board, and I suppose we could add the ALAC and the GAC. Is that right?
Sure, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a friendly change. Some of you have been involved in this. Does that seem okay? Anybody object to that? Liz, could you, assume, hopefully you captured that change, and we can send that to the list for the community working group in that regard. Rosemary.
Yes, Chuck. In fact, I think the recommendation says that in the second last paragraph, that the community working group should deliver a report with comments from the ALAC, GAC, and GNSO Council. So I think that's in the document already.
That's what I said earlier. I thought it was too, but if it's
yes.
helpful to be more explicit, I think that's okay.
So it's clear then the process is the report goes to everybody, but not until it's already been commented on by the three ACs? No, that's wrong, and that's what you're suggesting. But what in fact is going to happen is that this group is going to come up with their report, it's going to go straight to the board, and then we're going to get it and have a chance to comment on it.
But that's not what the document says. As I'm reading it, the second last paragraph under operational guidelines and timeline.
Yep.
Now, we have to be real here. The time frame that we have in front of us, the community working group is going to be doing really well to come up with a report by the 13th of September. Is it realistic that they can come up with a report and that the GNSO Council can comment on that using our procedures by the 13th?
It's not realistic. That's why
I understand.
I say that. So the document should reflect reality, I guess, is my point.
Okay. And your suggestion then would make you feel more comfortable in that regard.
I commented that those two the phrase in the working group task, number two, and the paragraph that Rosemary was just quoting are inconsistent. And I was trying to figure out what was going to happen. Now that we've figured out what's going to happen, the document needs to be changed.
Okay. Anybody object to that change? Okay. So we
could you repeat it, Chuck?
Excuse me, Bill. Go ahead.
Chuck, could you restate the change again, please?
Yeah. Liz, did you capture it in the text?
Well, actually, I thought that we were going with what was there, which is the report with comments.
Oh, that's not what Mike is suggesting. Mike is suggesting that the report be sent to the board and the GNSO and the ALAC and the GAC. Is that correct, Mike?
Right, and then that last paragraph that Rosemary was just quoting needs to be amended just to point out that the comments are not from the GNSO are not going to be in the report that goes to the board.
Okay. That help, Bill?
The report should have comments from the three groups no later than the 13th. I'm not understanding what the problem is.
Right, Bill?
Say what, Mike?
And that's not going to happen. There will not be comments from the GNSO, for example, by September 13th. Because you won't have your report to us nearly in time for that to be possible.
Yeah, well, I had a problem with the whole timeline anyway, but this would imply that the group would have to get things out to the GNSO and ALAC and GAC a week earlier than that, which is very tight. You're right about that.
Yeah, all right. Alan?
Yeah, even giving a week, there's no full opportunity for the GAC, the ALAC, or the GNSO to consult with its various constituents and come up and make a formal decision in that time frame. The best we're going to do out of this is the report out of the working group goes to the board and the three committees, the three groups, and each of us do what we can to send something in parallel to the board, perhaps reaching the board in time for its retreat, perhaps not. The retreat is not a decision-making. There's no formal board meeting. So there will be an opportunity for the board to reconsider what comes out of that retreat. But I don't see any other way in the timeline, unless we're living in an imaginary world, to do anything else.
none of our groups can act that quickly, you know, according to our formal processes. We would have had to have the report already, and we don't have it.
Right. Thank you, Alan. Stefan?
Thanks, Chuck. This is I'm speaking, giving you my personal opinion now. I agree with what Alan's just said. I think one of the major pluses of this group is that we've got all these ACs and SOs coming together, and despite the inherent length of our processes, all our internal processes, everyone's agreed to try for that and shoot for that September the 13th date. Now, I think that's a really good sign, and it's something that you know that we need to take notice of. I think I understand the problem that Mike is raising, but I would suggest that we leave the document as is, because there has been that widespread agreement of those various groups coming together and accepting that, and I, for one, pushed extremely hard on the group for that September the 13th date to stay in there and to, you know, to be a defining deadline. I would suggest that I'm not sure what the process would be, actually, for the council at this stage to officially suggest changes to the terms of reference document, apart from each and every one of us, you know, going on the group itself and talking there. I'm not sure if there's a process for us to officially suggest that, but I'm sure we should take notice of the fact that there's been that level of cooperation. Thanks.
Thank you, Stefan. Rosemary?
Chuck, my suggestion is around the wording of that second last paragraph, and perhaps we should go back now to the fact that the community working group will be delivering a preliminary report and be quite specific that it does not have comments from ALAC, GAC and GNSO Council because of the time pressure, and that we will go to that next stage and, you know, come back later, et cetera, et cetera.
Adding back in the word preliminary would be very difficult to do now. There has been extensive mm-hmm. discussion on that in the community-wide working group. Let me share something from a different perspective on this as we deal with this issue. Correct me if I'm wrong, and one or two people have already kind of hinted at this. I believe this is the first time that we in the GNSO have ever really what appears to be effectively interacted with GAC involvement on an issue of concern to them. I think that's really important going forward for us, not just on this issue, but you know yourselves that in our last few GAC meetings we've talked about this with the GAC and how we need to figure out how we can work together better, and we even have, you know, a lot of us have shared thoughts in that regard. It's actually happening right now, and I appreciated Stefan's comments in that regard and Alan's comments earlier about the importance of relationships. I think whatever we do on this, my encouragement would be that we make sure the right message is delivered in terms of our willingness to cooperate with other groups in the community that follow different procedures than us to try to communicate and make things better. We may end up with what's in DAG 4 right now, but if we, like I think Bill said, you know, if we go through the process of working sincerely together on this, I think that's an accomplishment in itself. And whatever we do, let's just make sure we send the right message to the GAC and to the rest of the community that we're going to try to work with them. We don't like the fact that this is coming up really late. That makes it even more difficult. But for the first time, we actually do have, GAC participation. In fact, the whole GAC is seeing what's going on this list. So let's just send the right message in whatever we do. Now, with regard to the terms of reference, I guess I lean towards Stefan's suggestion that we leave it alone unless there's any really major concerns. I think Mike's concern is valid, but I'm not sure changing the language is going to change the circumstances much from what we have already. The reality of the matter is this is coming very late. The board has a retreat when it's going to talk about these things, and so, you know, we have a situation that is not ideal, and at the same time, there's an opportunity to cooperate together with SOs and ACs in talking through the concerns and maybe coming up with some suggestions. Bill.
I am in violent agreement with everything you just said about trying to work with other parts of the community and not having the council sort of just say, well, you didn't do it our way, so, you know, forget it. I think that we have to send the right signals here. There's a lot going on outside of ICANN that's relevant. We should be fairly broad in our understanding of this. One thing I would say about this is, given that the language is difficult, I mean, Mike's right about that, maybe we should simply encourage ALAC, GAC, and council members to, prior to the 13th, even though the group will still be working, start their own process of following, assessing, and perhaps preparing some preliminary comments that could be folded in something that's delivered on time. I mean, it's really not ideal, but obviously we're not going to have the possibility in this case for a sequential thing with a big chunk of time for everybody to consider it. So people just might have to wing it a little bit to try to put in some position statements alongside whatever the group sends forward. At least that will be something we can revisit. I hate to say this because I know Stefan wants it all to end then, but, you know, if things have to be followed up from there with more specific kinds of responses, that can be done.
Thanks, Bill. One of the elements in the terms of reference is the need for at least the ALAC, the GAC, and the GNSO to assign a liaison that would just be a communication channel. And follow up to what Bill just said, if someone who's on the community working group and is on the council would be willing to provide that liaison, fulfill the liaison role, that person could communicate with the council on an ongoing basis on issues so that this timing issue, if nothing else, we're kept aware on kind of a near real-time basis so that we won't be surprised in the direction they're going. Yeah. So think about that a little bit. See if anybody that's in both groups, the council and that, would be willing to serve in a liaison capacity for the council that would help us, realizing that, you know, it's going to be a time crunch for the GNSO to comment on the report. Rosemary.
Chuck, is it not possible in the document, the terms of reference document, to make this point, that the time frame is very tight and that we'll be delivering the report with the comments that we have at the time, but they're not possibly the final comments? It just seems to me that this paragraph is indicating that the comments that will go with the report are the only comments, and I think we should indicate that just the reality of our situation, that the time frame is a crunch, and that people might be making their positional comments but may have other things to say. And I know in the last paragraph there is in fact
an opportunity for the working group to review comments subsequent to the 13th. But we're not saying that in this terms of reference.
Yeah, the problem as I see it, and others that are in the group can chime in on this, excuse me, is that there are those in the working group who really want it to be, I mean, if they had their way, it would be a firm deadline of 13, it ends, okay? There are others who recognize that that's a pretty tough challenge. There's been a huge amount of debate in the last week on this particular issue. So if we go down that path, we're going to face the same thing all over again. There has been, within the participants, what I think is a reasonable intent to compromise by people on both sides of that argument. And what we have in front of us right now is that compromise.
Okay.
Now, everything everybody has said is true, you know, mm-hmm. on this call today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nobody's blind to that fact. So my recommendation would be, because the group has grappled with this and parties on both sides of this particular issue have compromised so that we can get moving in terms of what hopefully will be the real discussions in terms of the implementation plan that's in DAG 4 will be the focus from here on out. Stefan.
Yep.
Chuck. All right.
Yeah, Stefan, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Just wanted to say that I will volunteer for that liaison role if it helps, but I'd rather it end on September the 13th.
I didn't catch the last thing you said, Stefan.
I would rather that role ended on September the 13th if I do
right.
volunteer for it.
Okay. All right. Well, is anybody object to Stefan fulfilling that role? I appreciate you volunteering. And if, you know, I don't even want to say an if, okay? you made your point, and let's just leave it at that, okay? Another question for the council is that the terms of reference call for the chairs of the GAC, GNSO, and ALAC, or their designees, to co-chair this group. Is there any objection to me fulfilling that role? Okay. Hearing none, I'll assume that it's okay to do that. And for those who really didn't like the way this came about, you know, it was all done because of the very, very short window that we have, while at the same time hoping that we could show good faith effort in working with the GAC and the ALAC, and it's open to the CCNSO and anybody else in the community that wants to participate. And so and I think, you know, I've been impressed in the call on Monday, we will actually dig into the implementation plan for Rec 6 and ask people to identify areas where they have concerns, but not just stop there. If you have concerns, let's come up with improvements that would deal with those concerns and see if there we can come together in terms of how that might happen. Now, I've also, just as a means of informing you what's going on behind the scenes, I've asked Kurt Pritz to try and get a representative from the ICANN implementation team on this, and if possible, if that could be a legal person, one of the general counsel staff, because my understanding is they were heavily involved in terms of coming up with the implementation plan that's in DAG 4 right now. So I don't know yet whether that's going to happen. I'm pretty sure there will be somebody from the implementation team, whether it's actually one of the general counsel staff that worked on this or not, remains to be seen. So just to let you know. Christina.
This question, I think, is partly for staff and I guess partly for you, Chuck, and kind of just generally for the folks who are on this community working group. Is it the intention that when this goes out to the board, when it's delivered to the board, that it would also be posted for public comment? I mean, has there been any discussion about how, if at all, and when the recommendations would be made available for public comment? Because maybe I'm missing it, but I've read this a couple times, and I'm not seeing anything in here that speaks to that.
Yeah, you're right, and it's a very, very good question. I wouldn't see any reason why it couldn't go out, couldn't or shouldn't go out for public comment in terms of what the report says. So I thank you for bringing that up. So, Liz, let's remember that when we get to that point to do that.
Right.
Would there be an objection from the working group to actually putting that in? I hate to put it in the terms of reference because ordinarily we wouldn't, but ordinarily we would have procedures that specifically apply. What do you think the likely reaction would be to that?
Of putting it in the terms of reference, or let me ask those on the call right here. Does anybody here that's been involved in this, or even if you haven't, see any problem with putting that in the terms of reference?
Yeah, Chuck, Stefan.
Yeah, go ahead, Stefan.
Because of the we've made this point, you and I, several times on this call already, I would recommend that we do not seek any changes to that document at this stage because it's as I understand it, something that's been agreed upon by all parties after a lot of discussion that happened in a very short time frame. And as you said before, the points that are being made are valid. Perhaps we could make them on the list. I would recommend that we don't attempt to change the document at this stage.
Thank you, Stefan. Rosemary?
Yes, there's a couple of references in there. ICANN will provide a publicly archived email list, but perhaps more importantly, a public wiki site. So there's some indication of openness about this without us having to change this document, which seems to be too difficult by all accounts. So perhaps if we use those dot points as a base to ensure that there's public comment some way down the track.
Yeah, and I think it's a good suggestion, and I think that we can do that. There's, like I said, there's no reason why we can't put it out for public comment as well. I suggest that we Liz, you and I, and the staff team, and David, that we we work that issue and take Christina's suggestion seriously, but leave the draft terms of reference as is. Is that okay?
Yep.
All right. thanks a lot. I'm glad we had extra time on this issue. So maybe Terry did us a favor by not being able to attend the meeting today. Give us a little more time on this. And thanks for your cooperation and the great dialogue. That's really important. Let me go on to item 7, and we're going to go through that very quickly. It's mainly just informative. There are things that we will cover in our meeting on the 8th, as applicable. We'll spend more time on the prioritization exercise in our next meeting. The registration abuse policies working group action plan. There have been volunteers for that group, so we'll get a status update on the 8th on that. The suggested improvement two things that are really important, and Wendy, you volunteered to head up one and Stefan the other. This is items 7.3 and 7.4, and I've seen some activity on these. But we will need, for our meeting on the 8th, any suggested improvements for GNSO public council meetings and also the suggestions for GNSO council interaction with the board by that meeting so that the council can, and in fact with as much lead time as possible, so that we can discuss those suggested improvements And then Stefan and Glenn then need those in terms of, to the extent that they impact the scheduling, they can work on that. With regard to the drafting team for the DNS cert, SSR, working group charter, Chris and Cheryl and I have a call on that next week. And as you've seen, and you can see in the agenda, the CCNSO has identified their volunteers for the group. We had already done that, so we should have some progress report on that in our meeting on the 8th. Going to 7-6, Glenn has sent around a table that shows the availability of people for DNSO Council meetings in November, December, and January. Glenn, do you want to comment on that?
No, only to ask the council whether they are in agreement with the meeting on the 18th of November at 11 UTC so that we can post it. And what we should do about the 6th of January meeting, Chuck.
Okay. And tell everyone again the issue on the 6th of January.
Well, the 6th of January, there will be new council members, and it will be the first meeting after the Cartagena meeting, which will be on the 8th of December, and quite a few people have expressed the wish not to have a meeting immediately after the Cartagena meeting, which would be just before the holidays. So the 6th of January was looked at as the first date after that, if people are in agreement.
Does anybody object to going forward with those dates and posting them? Rosemary, is your hand up in that regard?
No, I want to come back to vertical integration, Chuck.
Yeah, no, I haven't forgotten that. I'm
okay,
coming
thank
back.
You.
So, Bill?
When you say posting them, do you mean it's decided, or you mean circulate them for comment?
Posting what? I lost you there.
The dates.
In other words, putting them on our schedule. I meant putting them on our schedule.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's 11. All right, fine.
We don't have any dates for November, December, and January right now.
Yes, I'm sorry. I misheard. I thought it was 11 p.m. UTC. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not hearing it. Mary, is your hand up with regard to schedule?
Yes, it is, Chuck, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm looking at the chart now, and I cannot do Thursday, 18th November. I don't think it makes a difference, but just for record keeping, Glenn, you might want to drop the NCSG OK to 5 because I can't make it.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. Okay.
All right. backing up, I see I skipped over item 7-6, and I'll be very quick on that. The Standing Committee for Monitoring GNSO Improvements, we have three volunteers so far. Ray Fassett from the registries, Wolf Oldersknoven from the ISPs, and Tatiana Kramsova, I probably mastered that, from the registries. So certainly if there are other volunteers to work on that, please send those names to Glenn. You have anything to add to that, Glenn?
No, I haven't. Thank you, Chuck.
All right. Now, going back to vertical integration, item 5, at Rosemary's request. Go ahead, Rosemary.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm not sure what the best way to proceed is, but I'm just uncomfortable that after the amount of work that a number of people in our community have done on this particular topic, on the one hand, and the expectation from the board about receiving something through the GNSO, not necessarily endorsed by the GNSO, that we ought not leave things where we've left them, which is essentially, as I see it, and I may be wrong here, but we haven't identified
a next step in this process. And I think there's too much work has been done for that to be our position. So whether administratively, and I'm never very good at administrative things like this, whether the best thing for me to do is to second the motion to enable us to have a discussion about what we do next, or whether we handle things ahead of the next meeting, I'm not committed to a particular course of action, but I feel that we cannot just stay in this position where we have landed of not seeing this work through to the next step.
Thank you. Mary, did you still have your hand up?
I do, actually, for this point, and I just wanted to add on to what Rosemary said. I, too, thinking it over, feel uncomfortable, and I think particularly thinking back that this was partly sent by the board to the GNSO and we convened a PDP, and after all the hard work of the working group, all we're talking about here is sending the report formally to the council to the board. So it just seems to me to be awkward, if not wrong, to not vote and not do anything. So if I may, I'd like to reopen the issue and second the motion that was made earlier.
So you're seconding the motion?
Yes, okay. Please.
Thank you. Stefan?
There's a couple of procedural issues there. Can a motion that's been tabled be seconded, or does it have to be moved to the next meeting, would be my first question. Second, I think both Rosemary and Mary are slightly mistaken with their approach on this. The board is not expecting the GNSO Council to forward anything but a final report, i.e. a final recommendation that is that comes out of the completed policy development process. The board does not expect us to forward anything until that has happened, and that has not happened yet. We're talking about a preliminary report or an interim report. So at this stage, the board will be made aware of the existence of this report through the briefings they get from staff, through reading the working group email list archives, just like anybody else. But I don't think there's any reason to formally send the board an interim report.
Thank you, Stefan. Did you want to respond to that, Rosemary?
I do, because the notion, I mean, this is an important piece of work, and there have been many people involved in it. So I'm just really uncomfortable, although I understand the point Stefan's making, with the idea that the board can just sort of catch up on this issue by talking to staff. My worry with that is that it's dealing the council out of the policy, the management of policy task that is ours, or picking things up on email lists. I think if we're not able to give the board that final report for their retreat on the 13th, which is, that's a dot point on our agenda, which there's deadline for submission of report to the board. If we're not able to do that, then administratively, I think the GNSO Council ought to advise the board of that and not leave this matter with staff.
Thank you, Rosemary. Walt.
Yes, thank you. Well, I have also, I was thinking about, you know, when I was reading or seeing the big report, you know, the interim report, what does it mean, you know, whether we should send it or not to the board? So I, for my impression is, well, the board is expecting something from us, really, but they are expecting really hints where to go and what to do in the future. And it seems to me that with that interim report, we are going to send just a big bunch of paper, which is almost that big as a group is itself, and the question is really what is behind. So, it would be really important, I think, so to forward as a message to the board the essence of that, what is said in the report. So when I look to the report itself, so the essence is that within 3 or 4 pages in the executive summary. That's it. Why should we really send this big package to the board itself just for information, rather than a kind of message, okay, that's it, and that is the essence of the interim report, and that is it. So that would be my compromise suggestion. Well, if we go to send something, then just keep it very short.
So you would suggest just sending the executive summary?
Yes.
Okay. Christina?
I just want to make clear what my concern is, and I have suffered and continue to suffer through the working group, which frankly has rivaled the IRT in the amount of work that it's required. So it's certainly not the case that I'm questioning whether or not we should send this to the board, because I don't think it's an important piece of work and that the community hasn't worked hard on it. I just am not comfortable with our kind of making changes to our various processes on the fly. We've been pretty adamant about not doing that in other contexts, and as far as I know, there's really no provision anywhere for us to do something short of sending a policy recommendation to the board. Having said that, my reluctance is based on a couple of assumptions that I think if I could just raise them now and have staff let confirm whether I'm correct or not, I think it would be helpful for me going forward, because if my assumptions are, in fact, incorrect, then we may have no choice but to pass such a motion. And assumption number one is that there is no formal procedural requirement that would prohibit the board from discussing this issue in this initial report unless it was explicitly forwarded by the council, I guess would be question number one. And question number two is, I think we've all been assuming that this is, in fact, on the agenda for the retreat. So to me, those are really the two key assumptions. And if it's correct that we don't have to do any kind of formal motion that is already on the agenda, I'd rather not muck around with our procedures.
Thank you, Christina. Mary?
Yeah, so this is not really a direct response to Christina's points, but it's more a follow-up from an earlier discussion. I think it's not just the question of the board's expectations, although I think that's important, regardless of whether they would prefer or expect a final report, regardless of whether our preference or practice has been to the extent that we're able. I think it is indicative of the good faith of the community that's worked really hard on it. And I just think it would be very odd indeed if the council actually said we're not going to take any action on this report at all, because any action that we're going to take has to be either a formal recommendation or a final report. I think I know that for my own constituents, they would find that very difficult a message to swallow.
Thank you, Mary. Stefan?
I'm still having to go back to this point. I'm not sure people understand or see clearly that our role is strictly as manager of the policy process. We are not the makers of policy. So there's been a suggestion that we change the report. That, to me, is impossible, because that would mean that we would be changing something that's come out of the group that's in charge of making this policy. So I would expect that to be something that we cannot do. And similarly, because we are the managers of policy, I don't think it's correct to say that the fact that there's not a final report at this stage is a dark spot on our record, as I think someone said. Once again, we are not in charge of determining this policy, of making this policy. That's the working group's job. Our only job is to make sure that once the policy is made, we send it on to those people that need it. That is our only job, and this is not a final report.
Thank you, Stefan. Rosemary?
During the process where policy is developed, I think we have another role, and I don't think we should deal ourselves out of this role, and that is advising people who are interested in how the policy development process is going, that we should advise them on how it's going. So, again, coming back to leaving it with the board to check up email lists or to leaving it with staff to advise the board, that's where I have a difficulty. If our only task at the moment is advising the board that this process is not finished and that they should go and look at, you know, whatever site we want to point them to, I still think that the council ought to play that role, the as manager of the policy process.
Thank you, Rosemary. Now, I will admit that I'm not a expert on parliamentary procedure or Robert's Rules of Order, but let me make a decision on this, and if I'm out of order in that regard, I welcome that being pointed out. Because the motion was not seconded at the time we did it on the agenda, we're not going to act on it in this meeting. I guess the question is, what I would like to ask is that if someone wants to remake this motion for the next meeting on the 8th, that you do that, and if someone wants to second that, that you do that, and that we will then, after discussion and hopefully not just repeating everything that we've done today, act on it according to our rules of procedure on the 8th. Is my approach incorrect on that in terms of any rules that anyone's aware of, Christina?
I hate to interrupt, but I actually would like an answer from staff as to whether my assumptions are correct, because frankly, they're pretty dispositive of my position on this issue. I do feel strongly we shouldn't make the process up, but if I'm incorrect and the board will not discuss this report at all, unless and until it's accompanied by a formal resolution from the council, well, then that changes circumstances slightly.
Yeah. Does anyone from staff want to respond to that, or would you rather get back to us on the list?
The latter, Chuck, please.
Okay, so they'll get back to us on the list, Christina. Okay? So, anyone object to the approach I suggested? And I'm intentionally trying to lay back on this one. I made the motion because I wanted to meet the 8-day deadline so that we could talk about it and be here today in this discussion. But I will not remake the motion. I'll leave it to those of you who would like to make it, and if there's a second, good, and we'll go from there. Any questions or comments on that? All right. Our time, I believe, is up. We made it in 2 hours, I'm pleased with that. Thanks again for the good cooperation and great dialogue that we had. Have a good rest of the week. Meeting adjourned.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.